Hello, I'm writer-director Christopher R. Mim. Many of you know me as a guy who writes bad movies, but few of you also know that I write bad poetry. This is one of my poems. It is entitled Feelings. 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 I feel. Feeling these feelings. Feelings. Fee, the price paid emotions. Lings is not a word. And I feel it should be. It should mean love, loss, pain. Or be the name of a wheat-based noodle dish. I feel feelings.
This Mimiverse podcast is brought to you by Old Man Yates Whiskey. Old Man Yates Whiskey. It's good. It's made with flavor crystals. And as Old Man Yates said,
try it.
You're about to enter into a world where all those classic movie monsters are still alive. A time when scary movies were fun for the whole family. And a place where the only colors you'll find are black, white, and shades of gray. Welcome to the Mimiverse.
Welcome to the first ever, the premiere edition, if you will, of the Mimiverse podcast.
Babe, I thought we were going to call it the bonfire Mimiverse chat.
Because we're outside?
Yeah, and the bonfire.
And you can hear the neighborhood noises right now.
Yes, you can. This is real, ladies and gentlemen.
What were we going to call it?
The Mimiverse bonfire chat.
All right. Well, okay, we'll call it the Mimiverse bonfire chat. Welcome to the premiere edition of the Mimiverse Bonfire Chat. We're coming to you from, we'll say Arden Hills, Minnesota. We're in a backyard, truly by a fire, which is looking a little sad at the moment. But
it'll come back.
We are actually recording this outside. I should introduce myself. My name is Mark Hader. Most people call me Hader. This is just nickname I've had ever since I was a kid. The female voice you heard,
hello,
is my lovely fiance. You will know her as Rhubarb.
Or Ruby.
Or Ruby. Rhubarb Gallinati or Ruby Gallinati.
Or Cherie Gallinati. Good God, can this not be an hour about my nicknames?
I like it, though. You got a lot of names. We got to cover all the bases.
That's
here.
That's true. Our special guest tonight, the format is that we will be hosting and we'll have different guests from the Mimiverse. Our first and premier guest is Miss Sid Corpy.
Yay!
I joke that we're always going to say the guest name wrong, but no.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea. They're not going to line up to come, let's be on the podcast.
Yeah, no. And we also have Chris Mim. the director, writer, producer, and general do-it-all of the Mimiverse.
He is the Mimiverse. Say hi.
Hi. General do-it-all doesn't sound very nice.
Sorry. We'll bleep that.
Yeah.
No, it's okay.
We'll fix it
in post. I like
being
known as the do-it-all.
You are the writer, director, producer.
It sounds... I don't want to say dirty, but just weird.
I love to sound dirty. Okay. Awesome.
So, yes, this is all about the Mimiverse, the movies, the actors, you know, behind the scenes, upcoming events.
The geese in the air. Good time.
Listen. See? Oh, it's perfect. I love it. It's awesome.
It's
yes.
Live theater kids.
Proof that we're doing this outside. So, yes, Mr. Mim.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
It's a gorgeous night.
Yes.
For the inaugural Bonfire Mimic Chat.
The name will change throughout the podcast.
Please vote for your favorites.
Please vote for your favorites. At SaintEuphoria.com.
SaintEuphoria.com.
Com.
In stereo by Rhubarb. So, yes, we're recording this in May of 2011, the premiere. This is before the premiere, the world premiere of Attack of the Moon Zombies.
Mimiverse film number 6.
Mimiverse film number 6. Numero 6. So, yes, Attack of the Moon Zombies. And if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know something about Chris and his previous work. We're all here excited about Attack of the Moon Zombies. It was a long, arduous shoot.
But fun.
It was very fun. I was involved, as was Ruby. We were both fortunate enough to work on Attack of the Moon Zombies with Chris. It's exciting.
And this was the first film that Mark has real lines beyond
besides my death metal grunts.
and he's got this great Russian-ish
it's
accent.
Pretty authentic-ish.
I don't know. I sounded like Chekhov, but I'm not.
Anyhow,
an effeminate Chekhov.
That's not a bad thing.
Anyway, let's not spoil it too much. So, SaintEuphoria.com, again, is the website.
The online home of the films of Christopher R. Mim.
Actually, that's exactly what it says.
It's the tagline.
And again, we're recording this before the world premiere, which is Wednesday, May 25th. 2011, and it's at the Columbia Heights Theater in lovely downtown Columbia Heights, Minnesota. I believe the tickets are sold out. Is that correct, Chris?
It is sold out for the first time ever.
Congratulations.
The first film of 6 that is completely and utterly sold out. So if you didn't get tickets, sorry. You missed out on what will probably be the greatest experience known to man up there with the moon landings. And perhaps the birth of the universe, really. I mean, it's...
Wow.
People will be changed by this. I mean, they will enter one type of person and leave a more enlightened human being. I mean, we may all just ascend during...
A more wary human being.
Well, it's just... You will... I can't begin to tell you what's going to happen. You just...
You got to see it.
If you paid the $5, believe me, there's no better $5 you will ever have spent than going to that premiere.
It is really the best way to start off the summer of 2011. You know, you've got Thor.
Really to begin the rest of your life.
Pretty much. You know, 2011 brought us Thor and Green Lantern, and there's a Captain America film, and, you know, and amongst the pantheon of comic book movies. Well, this isn't really a comic book movie, but this trumps them all. I'm calling it right now. I'm calling it.
So at any rate, if you missed the premiere...
Apparently not.
What you can do is keep an eye on Saint Euphoria and get on the mailing list, and you will get monthly mailers that are very kind about telling you where you might be able to see it in your area and others. It has played on television. It has played at the drive-in. It has played in local theaters around the nation. It has played overseas. It has played... a variety of different places, and sometimes it comes back. So if you have a theater that you would love to see this movie in and you're nowhere near the premiere, or you want to come and see it because you missed the premiere, email Chris and talk to your local people and see if they're up for it.
You can always contact me anytime at info or Chris at StEuphoria.com.
That would be C-H-R-I-S.
C-H-R-I-S-R-I-N-F-O.
Yes. Because there are some people out there that spell it weird, like K-R-I-S.
And Chris, do you need to spell out Saint Euphoria?
Yes, spell it all out. S-A-I-N-T-E-U-P-H-O-R-I-A.
Thank you.
Dot com.
You can also buy copies of the... She's laughing. We lost her.
This is the Pimpiverse is what this is.
You can also buy on May 25th at the premiere. Will be available for your purchasing pleasure DVD copies of said movie, Attack of the Moon Zombies.
And all of them, really. And bear in mind that I am always looking for places to show the films. If it's not too far or too inconvenient, I will do my best to be there to help you promote it, do the screening, whatever. I love opportunities to go out and promote the films.
And sometimes actors go.
And a lot of the local actors and some of the actors from outstate love to go to events. I mean, it's more or less what it's really all about. I mean, you make movies, fine, but if you're not going to go out and promote them and meet people and have a good time, well, what ultimately is the point?
That's true. That's true.
I mean, it's about having a good time and I love meeting people. I love going to the screenings and events and just being out there and talking to people and getting to know people. And a lot of people maybe don't know this, and this will, of course, go eventually toward our interview with Sid here, is that a lot of people who are now currently involved with the films started off simply just coming across them or seeing them somewhere, contacted me, sort of became a friend, and now they're making them or appearing in them. So, you know, persistence pays.
Basically what I think Chris is trying to say is your dreams can come true.
Oh my goodness.
In the Mimiverse.
Oh my goodness.
Everyone's dreams come true in the Mimiverse.
He's like Willy Wonka.
Mimiverse, first.
Unless you're a Canoe Cops fan.
Verse.
Apparently we just can't work that out.
Okay, well, anyway, so I'm going to steer this bus back online, y'all. Since we're not talking about a Canoe Cops movie, why don't you tell us what we are doing in the Mimiverse?
Well, let's see.
What's going on?
What is going on?
Beyond having finished up the new film, which I will say Attack of the Moon Zombies is, by far, I think, the best film I have ever been involved with, bar none from beginning to end. That's not to say I don't absolutely adore all my other films. I do. And I'll be the first one to tell you I am my own biggest fan. But Attack of the Moon Zombies is definitely something special, and I cannot wait to release it. I cannot wait for people to see it and experience it. I think it's going to become everybody's new favorite. So there's that. After that, we have, of course, screenings coming up here. The premiere, if you got tickets, consider yourself one of the lucky people who will become ascended to a higher form of being here soon. Then, of course, the film will be playing over the weekend at the Jefferson Highway 18 Outdoor Theater.
Which weekend would that be, sir?
That would be Memorial Day weekend, right after the premiere, a couple days. I think it's 27th, 28th, 29th or something like that.
That is correct.
And that's in Jefferson, Wisconsin. It's a great place. If you live near there and you didn't know it existed, go there as often as possible because the guy who owns it's great. And it's a really nice drive-in. A lot of drive-ins are really run down. This guy really, really takes care of it. And it's gone digital. Which is one of, I think, only two or three in the entire country. So he, you know...
High-quality films.
High-quality stuff. Outdoor, great atmosphere. And then, of course, there'll be a screening of a double feature of Attack of the Moon Zombies and Terror from Beneath the Earth in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, at the Time Community Theater that was set up by Bob Art, who is in Attack of the Moon Zombies, as you will see one of the... greatest love-to-hate characters. You'll see what I mean. And then, of course, just stuff that more or less is as far as Attack of the Moon Zombies and other screening and stuff. We don't have a lot set up for the summer. I am very much interested in adding a bunch of screenings. So, like Ruby said, like I said, if you know of some place that would like to show it, just contact me and we'll work something out. And I'm very generous. A lot of times I don't even ask for, you know, cuts of the door or anything. If you're a theater owner and you want to show it, a lot of times I just want to be able to show the films. I'm not honestly in this for the money. Because if I was, I would have quit years ago.
We wouldn't have made it to number three.
No.
Let alone number six. And then a lot of stuff will be sort of scheduled around Halloween. September, October, November tend to be very busy Mimiverse months only because, well, the monster movie... It lends itself to that time of year. And then lastly, I am now starting to begin the outline for a new film.
That would be number 7.
Number 7. I'm not going to
tell spoilers.
You.
No spoilers.
I'm not really going to tell you much about it. The only thing I will hint at, and I've hinted at it in a previous an interview, and it doesn't really ruin anything. It just sort of gives you an idea of what's going on. I will disappoint everyone else out there who wants a Canute Hops movie and say that is not happening this year. And it was just simply a scheduling thing. Someday it'll happen. Mike Cook and Scott Tolman, who played the Canute Hops, are very much interested, and I'm very much interested. It's just a matter of finding the time, and it didn't work this year. I'm sorry. But the new one, and this is the hint I will give, I'm about to start scripting,
okay. Is
think William Castle. If you don't know who that is...
Oh, that's a major
Google.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, yeah. Right. If you don't know who that is, look him up. It'll give you at least an idea of maybe a little bit of a direction. Of course, the man had a pretty large film catalog.
And then watch all his catalog, because all these movies are really great, and the more old movies you watch, the more the Mimiverse films will be enriched.
It'll make more sense.
Yeah, it will, actually.
And honestly, you enjoy them more. Not right. that they aren't enjoyable on their own, but when you start to see things that you've seen in other places, oh, they're better.
And then you'll say to yourself, geez, I should order copies of these Mimiverse films for my family members.
For Christmas?
They would love them.
For birthdays?
And then you realize you need an unopened copy just to have as a collector's item.
Yes.
That's true.
And then you'll realize you need a poster
or
of
a
all
plush.
The films.
Or a painting.
Or perhaps a hat.
Or to make a blog so that you can
just
talk
something.
About how much you love these movies.
Yes. I mean, you'll become obsessed like the rest of us.
That's true.
Or at least I'm obsessed and I pretend everyone else is too.
No, I think it's pretty accurate to say there's many in the Mimiverse who are obsessed. Or wait, should we drop the new line on them? The new phrase that one Mr. Michael Cook came up with.
Yay, Mike Cook.
Yes.
Who is not with us tonight, but he's with us in spirit. He's alive. I'm not trying to insinuate that the man died or anything.
And he's just floating around.
No, he's very much alive, so there will be a Canute Hops movie at some point. I will bug Chris to make sure that happens. Whether it's next year or 2014, if we're still around, you know.
Oh, we'll be still
around.
Okay, all right.
I can't stop.
Anyway, the word that Mr. Cook had come up with for fans of the Mimiverse was?
Mimivites.
The Mimivites. I like that.
Now, if you can come up with something better, send me an email.
Something to trump that. We're going to start a contest.
For now, Mimivites is what it is. But if you can trump it, give it a try.
And Mimiverse, you know, you've got the Mimivites are fans of the Mimiverse. This is not like a Star Trek, you know, thing where they're like Trekkies or Trekkers. We're not going to do that.
I don't know. It might be kind of fun.
Oh, boy.
To draw parallels to other science fiction shows and movies.
Again, I say, watch all of those things and then come to a Mim movie.
But to recap, what's going on in the Mimiverse, we do have the world premiere of the Attack of the Moon Zombies on Wednesday, May 25th at the...
Also known as the Heights Ascension Ceremony.
Oh my goodness, that was terrible.
That was awesome, actually. For Attack of the Moon Zombies, the world premiere. It is sold out, I apologize. Well, actually, I don't. It's your fault. I'm just kidding.
No, we'll be there. I know where the back door is.
Yeah, exactly. Did we get tickets? No, of course we got tickets. Chris who?
What are we doing here?
Yeah. Who is this Chris guy? World premiere, May 25th at the Heights Theater in Columbia Heights, Minnesota. And then
be there or be a lesser life form.
Yes. The rest of us will have achieved a higher state of consciousness, according to Chris. That following weekend, we're at the Jefferson Drive-In in Jefferson, Wisconsin, which is a great, you know, theater. I haven't been there yet, but I think we're going this year. Is that correct, my dear?
I'm pretty sure we don't have anything planned. So.
All right.
We're
camping
on.
Out, and that'll be great. And
oh,
then,
yeah, chance to camp? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we haven't camped yet, so.
No, that's true.
It will be cold. Awesome. But this is not about us.
Of course it is. It's all about you guys.
Yeah. And then.
Go ahead.
And then after that was, again, what, Chris? I'm sorry, my memory is
The
failing.
Oshkosh showing.
The Oshkosh showing.
At the Time Community Theater.
And that
the
was.
Double feature. It's actually the, if you think about it, it's the Dr. Edwards double feature. Because it's the two films that feature Mike Cook playing the character of Dr. Vincent Edwards.
And that is, again, when again?
June 11th.
Excellent. And that is a Saturday?
That is a Saturday.
Excellent.
In Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
So you can even drive if you're from the cities or Chicago. There you go.
There you go. You have no excuse. Chicago ends.
So to bring this bus back onto the road again.
Because we love to drive off-road with
yes,
this bus.
Yes, we do. Off-road it, please.
And it is a short bus.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So we were talking about higher life forms. I would like to introduce the Mimiverse to Miss Sid Corpy.
Yay!
Who has a large role, very large role, and large and important in the Attack of the Moon Zombies. Welcome, Sid.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yay. In Attack of the Moon Zombies, I'm not going to give any spoilers away because this is being released before the premiere, but you do play a character, Ripley.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Ripley.
Dr.
Administrator.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. And I was in the
get
film,
my
so
rank
I feel bad.
Right, lady.
Dude, I was under a table for one scene in the movie.
Jeez.
Cut the vegetable a break.
No spoilers, dear. No spoilers.
We'll see it in the credits. It's not a spoiler.
So, yes, Miss Sid Corpy is with us. She was in a previous film.
Oh, yeah.
With Mr. Mim. That would be Destination Outer Space.
Yes, I had one line.
And that
my
was?
My husband had the same line. We both said, "Greetings, wise one."
Oh,
yeah.
That was
I was
you.
Waiting for my award for that.
And the Academy never called, did
it
you?
It didn't. Dang
I'm
it.
Sorry.
It's probably like, Chris, you can't find my number anywhere. I was just thinking as he was saying, you know, oh, yeah, just, you know, say that you like my film, massage my ego, and I'll let you be in it. You're going to be flooded because as it is already, everyone.
You're going to get thousands of emails.
Everyone who wants to act badly, and I'll leave that hanging, you know, how that goes.
What the definition is?
Yes.
Which badly you meant?
Everyone who badly wants to act
badly
will be calling you, just like I did.
Well, we'll edit that part out then.
No, we're not. We're leaving that in.
No.
Minimal edits.
Ah. I've dug my own grave.
Yes, you have. No, you can't. Everybody can't be in the films.
No,
he's so selective.
Yeah.
No, really, it's not quite even that much.
Oh my gosh, you have to fit the role, you guys.
That is
true. Clearly, I'm the only theater person here.
Come as, as Chris alluded to before, Sid herself was a fan of the films, and then you know, voiced her you know enjoyment of the films to Chris. And
that's putting it so nicely.
I know. But, you know, let's talk about, you know, how you were even introduced to Chris Anna's films. I mean, what was the first film for you? What was the first
it
one that you
was
saw?
It was Cave Women on Mars.
Excellent
film. I used to proofread for the Downtown Journal and Southwest Journal, and there was a story about Chris and that movie in there. And I was reading about it, and I thought, well, this sounds really, really fun. Why don't we go to see this premiere? So my husband and I went, and when it was done, I vowed to myself and to the powers that be that before I die, I will have something to do with a Christopher Mim movie, period. And I was thinking, you know, I'll be a prop mistress, a dead body, an extra. I don't care. Got to do it. And just a couple of years later, after I stalked him, I actually just, you know, sent him an email, but it's so much more fun to say stalked. I feel more powerful that way.
It might possibly be true.
I recently,
really
my husband sent me that.
Yeah.
The emails that I had originally exchanged with him. Oh, God, I need a psychiatrist. I'm pretty scary. But so does he, because he answered.
So stalkerish isn't all that far off, is what you're saying.
Gosh. It's not. It's
okay,
not
excellent.
And I downloaded a photo of my high school theater trophy and said, "Proof, I'm talented."
There you go.
Well, somehow it worked with him.
A sense of humor.
I got through that
far.
First
yes.
barrier, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, as he says, we've kind of become friends, sort of. Kind of well, and actually,
well,
we
you know
discovered
where his house is now.
He and I were probably siblings in a past life, so we have that love-hate relationship going.
So the actor-director relationship worked okay for you then?
Yeah, yeah.
With the sibling love-hate?
We tease each other mercilessly. Mm-hmm. So his directorial style is so nice. He'd say, oh, just so you know, your face is going to be 90 feet high on the drive-in screen. Action!
He said
nothing
that to
instills confidence like that.
Nothing like a little terror to get a good act.
Yeah,
out
he
of
said
you.
That to me, too, when I was shooting my scenes for Destination Outer Space. He's like, yeah, by the way, you know, every blemish that you have is going to be, you know, 70 feet tall.
My chicken pox scar.
Action. Exactly. I'm like, great, thanks.
So, Sid, then, I don't think anyone has ever asked you, because I know you got interviewed for the producer credit, executive producer credit, mm-hmm. And you had mentioned that you had stalked him before. So, your words, not mine. So, were you surprised after your first taste of the Mimiverse being on the big screen? And, I mean, we've all seen our friends' movies, and some of them are really good, and some of them they really tried really hard. I think Chris's look pretty professional, and they look well thought out, and they actually have a story arc and all the important things that I look for on a rewatchable movie. Were you surprised when you found out how things are filmed? I mean, you'd been in theater before, so you know mm-hmm. that, I mean, it's not a house. It's built of 2x4s and tape. Mm-hmm. But, you know, is there anything that was surprising to you during the actual filming process?
It was just so much fun to know that magic is being made. And in the case of Attack of the Moon Zombies, in the corner of a guy's basement near a stinky cat box.
Awesome.
And, I mean, come on. You guys were there. I saw how hard you worked building these sets. And, you know, is it too much a spoiler to say what you made the tables out of?
You know, no, go ahead.
Scooper cat litter buckets,
they're
you know, with
buckets.
White duct tape and yeah. melamine or whatever it is. And it looks so cool on the camera. He creates this world, and somehow with all the different walls and changes you guys made, you know, we'd make Dr. Rutherford's office and shoot all the scenes there. Then he'd make my office and shoot all the scenes there. And in between, you guys have to tear down the walls and change everything around. And still, when you see the final production, it feels like you're on this really expansive, huge ship. But we never left the corner of the guy's basement. Mm-hmm. It's just, it amazed me.
It's movie magic.
It is
truly
at its
movie magic.
Very, very best.
Well, and you kind of forget while you're filming it that you're filming out of order. It's very different from theater. I know you've done a lot of theater. I've done mm-hmm. a lot of theater. And you get kind of used to the pattern of the show and the pacing. Mm-hmm. And it starts to feel like an old friend. And you are filming things. And it's totally out of order. And like you said, mm-hmm. you're in one corner and then you're in the same corner the next week and someone says, hey, remember when we had that thing? And you're like, no. No. Remind me of that. Because we don't get to see film during the filming mm-hmm. the first time.
Oh,
either
yeah. I, for the longest time, wouldn't even look. He had to almost drag me kicking and screaming to see, you know, preview of one scene he had edited.
Yeah,
because I thought, like, oh,
dailies.
My God, if I see myself and my inner critic goes insane on me, I'll want to run screaming and you'll have to recast my part, you know?
Which is pretty
but,
bad.
You know, I got through, I watched it, and I said, you know, I don't have half bad posture. You know?
And fabulous hair, we're going to say.
Oh,
we're just going to leave it right there.
In the business.
We're leaving it right there.
It was very beautiful historical
After you
hair.
See the movie, the hair will make sense. We're just going to yep. leave it right there.
And I love what you were saying about see as many of the old 50s B-movies as you can. We just rewatched The Fly and Return of the Fly, and so many things that we see them doing, oh, that's where he gets that. Oh, that was so true to that genre. That was so true to that style. Mm-hmm. And it's just a delight to be part of making film history that's actually pulling the past right up with it. I think he put it really nicely. I think, didn't you say you make good, bad, old, new movies or new, old
good,
I'm
bad,
getting
new
my
old
adjectives.
Movies.
There you go.
I like
that.
It was good. He turned the phrase better than I just did. But, you know, again, with the, you're talking the difference between theater and film. Huge difference, because I was recently in a play, and you have the freedom there. If you know your character well and say someone on stage with you muffs a line or whatever, you can fill in, or if you're close but it's not exact, no big deal if you capture it right. We had to get everything absolutely verbatim correct for every scene that we did for Chris's films.
And
multiple
that?
Times.
Many times.
Yeah.
Because he films us from all these different angles, usually from my profile, and I don't like him for that. But
he is a one-man operation, so
we'll edit that out
in
post.
Can't I ever not look this way? But you have to get it right, because then after you've been filmed all these different directions, then he will record your audio. And if you have changed the words of his script, and then you're reading the script to do the audio, you're going to look like Godzilla, you know, where your mouth is not matching. You're going to look like you've had bad, cheesy subtitle talking.
Right, which is actually, that's important for new filmmakers who are watching, you know, a basement filmmaker, a fellow basement filmmaker. Please learn from that. It's important to overdub, because if you do it correctly, it makes the movie sound better instead of, I don't know, it's not as, help me out, Chris, it's not as warm, it's not as something, it's not as rich. It doesn't look like a movie. You get distracted watching movies that aren't.
I think consistency is the biggest issue with a lot of independent films. If they don't have a good sound guy, or even a sound guy, a lot of independent films will run into the problem with bad sound, where you end up having, from one scene to the next, the levels of the audio will change, or even from one shot to the next, you'll have something that sounds like it's in a giant echoey room, and then something that sounds like it's not. And it's just consistency, and that's honestly the reason I do the audio the way I do it, is it's really the only way, as such a small operation that I am and what I do, it's the only way to have that consistency of being able to make sure the sound is great. And if I can just put this one little thing out there, I studied audio engineering in school when I was 18, 19, and one of the greatest pieces of advice I ever got from one of my teachers that I always tell anybody, and I would love, this is a great opportunity to just put it out there, in the first Mimicast Bonfire Side Show,
whatever it's called,
is...
vote for your favorites, you know, at SaintEuphoria.com.
Is he sort of said, it was an audio for video, and he said, here's the thing about sound people don't realize, is you can watch a movie that maybe doesn't look very good, and if it sounds okay, you'll sit through it, and you'll, if it's a decent story and whatever, if it doesn't look good, it doesn't matter as much. If you have you could have the greatest movie ever, and if it sounds horrible, if it's distorted, or it's weird, or it's hard to understand, or it's muffled, you'll give it 10 minutes and you'll give up, because that will annoy people a heck of a lot more than a movie that looks maybe questionable or bad, or isn't filmed the greatest, or is, you know, cheap film stock or video, whatever. People a lot of times will look at that and think it's a stylized choice. But if the sound is horrible, you're sunk.
It's like the sound is, you would call it maybe the foundation of the movie, maybe.
In essence, yeah.
Yeah, and if it's not good, the whole rest of the movie is shaky, and you're going to give up on it.
That's interesting, because you think of it as a visual medium.
But
you really do.
The truth is, he had to overdub, because between Mike Cook and myself, we had so many growling stomachs, you would have heard otherwise.
Be sure to check out the blooper reel for Attack of the Moon Zombies.
There's
some doozies
seen that
on
yet.
There.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Was that you? No, that was me.
Oh, see, and that's another thing that people are going to want to hear. Do you have any, like, super background stories?
Yes, but I can't share that one.
Okay. All right.
That Chris and Michael plotted for months to spring on me. You will have to buy the DVD and have to watch the blooper reel, and you will know the one I'm talking about.
Very good. So is there an equivalent amount of farting around in theater and film, just for people who, I mean, I want to tell people, like, who, if you've never done any performing arts, there's a lot of work. I mean, it's a lot of particular. There's a lot of preparation work. If you're a technician, if you're an actor, I mean, if you're the filmmaker, if you're the writer, no matter who you are, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of love. There's
a lot of
time.
That's not seen, right?
Absolutely.
The actual performance is boom. It's there. It's gone.
Right.
But yeah, getting there is a long time and a lot of people. It's not just the actor you're seeing doing this. It's everybody who's helped, you know, from
right.
costumers to...
And in theater, you become kind of a family, and it's sort of nice because, much like your family, there'll be people you cannot stand at all. But you know that in 3 weeks, you'll have your opening. It'll be done, you know.
You'll be rid of them.
Right, because 3 weeks not...
I haven't been able to shake Chris yet. I've been trying so hard.
You can't shake the baby. But... Well, I mean, 3 weeks, like right before tech. Usually, theater's like approximately 6 to 9 months, and then you have a really intense month with an extremely intense week. You open it, you run it for a couple of weeks. It closes. By that time, you're
depressed.
Yeah, you're depressed. Even if you hate
what
everybody,
do I do now?
You get the cries. You love each other. You've become a family. You're excited to work with people in the future, but you know. Some people you're like, man, I love the way you act. I cannot stand you as a human. And I'm glad that, you know, we have these things. So on a
film. Sure, I have people in my head right now that you've. I'm not saying their names.
Well, and it's almost like working in an office, too. We all have these experiences. But mm-hmm. for people who are not performing people, it's very intense. It's very intense. And it's different than being in a band, and it's different than being in an office. And it's different. I mean, how was being in a film comparable to your experiences in your other performing aspects?
Well, it was, of course, intensely condensed. You know, you did all your rehearsing by yourself.
Okay.
And, you know, you didn't have a lot of stage time to run through things and get a rapport that way. So developing a character and meshing into the scene with these other people's interpretations of their characters, it was just... Bam, we had to get it
okay.
right away. And I think there was really a strong sense of magic in this movie. There were things happening right and left that indicated, yeah, the universe has its thumbs up here. It's going, yeah, we're green lighting this. Because we'd get in there, we'd maybe walk through the blocking and say the lines roughly once. Maybe that would be about it.
And then go.
And yes, we would be filmed several times, but I don't think... The performances changed dramatically from take one to take 10. We stayed really consistent with that, and it was really kind of amazing that we had done our work in our heads and in our homes and then brought them there, and they just fit because you could count on the intelligence of, well, some of the actors. And
again, no names.
Names shall not be mentioned.
I'm teasing my husband. Hi, honey. He's building the fire here, so
he's,
I can tease
he's
him.
Our awesome fire tender. He's doing a great job.
As stated previously, we are actually recording this outside. If you listen, there's birds and crickets and frogs.
There was a choo-choo train.
If you listen closely in the background, there is someone tending the fire, and that would be Anthony Kazor.
You rule.
Is the...
he's keeping our legs warm.
The other half of Sid.
And Dr. Phillips.
He is Dr. Phillips in this movie as well, but we're not going to interview him.
Well, not today. Not today.
No, this is all about me.
That is true. That is true. Our premier guest.
Yes,
to
our premier
the Bonfire Mimiverse chat.
If I can go back, you know, I had asked you before, your first introduction to the Mimiverse mm-hmm. Was Cave Women on Mars.
Yes.
Which in the pantheon, I love that word, by the way, pantheon of Mimiverse films, is the third film in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you attend the premiere of Cave Women on Mars?
I did, and we bought the other two movies that we had not yet seen.
And those would be the first movie, again, for people who might actually tune into this who have absolutely no idea who Chris and his films are. The first one is Monster of Phantom Lake, which came out in, I believe, 2004?
Six.
2006, wow. And then... That was followed up with It Came From Another World, which came 2 years after that.
Nope, next year.
It was the very next year, wasn't it?
He's been doing one
wow.
a year.
And he wants
crazy.
To die.
He wants to kill himself. But he's not going
not really.
To.
That was not true.
And then you got Cave Women on Mars. So that was your introduction. Mm-hmm. And have you been to all the premieres since?
Yes, of course.
You have. All right. Without saying anything real negative, what is your favorite?
She can say negative
without,
if she wants.
All right, without...
This is free will. Free will theater at the Bonfire Chat.
If you take out Attack of the Moon Zombies from the equation, because
mm-hmm.
we've seen them all,
mm-hmm.
the people sitting around this bonfire have seen Attack of the Moon Zombies. I'm sorry.
Sure.
It's true. We have. Which is your favorite of the Chris Mim films? If you take Attack of the Moon Zombies out.
You'll want to kick me because it's several.
Is it really? Okay.
Yes.
Which ones and why?
Okay. I absolutely love Monster of Phantom Lake because it, you know, the monster is just unbelievably cheesy, you know. And there was just so much fun stuff, and the canoe cops were introduced, and the dancing, and I loved is it Deanna or the
Deanne McDonald?
Yeah. Oh, she was so hilarious, and just the humor just got me there. And then you go into the next movie, and there, my favorite scene there was a canoe cop thing where they're tracking this lost professor, and Sven has an oar. Of course, they're carrying their oars through the forest, and he reaches up and he poinks a little mushroom that is growing up high in a tree, and that tells him which way to go. And somehow, I nearly piddled. I laughed so hard at that one little scene, and there are just so many of these moments that are just beautifully absurd. You know, a photograph of Josh Craig's shoes, and I lose it for those. And I love those. Terror from Beneath the Earth, it has my favorite monster of all.
The bats.
I mean, oh my God, the mutant bat creature. Every time we see it, we howl. It's so funny. And yet at the same time, he'll deal with actual kind of deeper themes that resonate with me, you know, like, do we have the right to kill off species just because we've, in, you know, created the circumstances for them to exist, and then decide, oh, that's dangerous, so we're going to obliterate them. You know, that whole responsibility thing. And he was kidding me when I wrote him about that. He goes, I just love when there are weirdos like you who think so deep about my movies. I had actually been a high school English teacher many years ago and actually taught film studies. So, yeah, I do approach them, you know, looking at, you know, theme and plot and with the theatrical background, you know, character development. And he's gotten really some phenomenally talented actors to work for nothing.
I agree. I agree.
And that is a credit to him, not just actors' desperation to be on screen. You know, we could all sign up to do somebody's thesis film that really stinks,
yeah.
You know. But oh, yeah. No, we're clamoring to do a Christopher Mim movie, and as, you know, things go along, it just builds more and more buzz. I've been kind of like his self-proclaimed publicist.
And we want to get to that. So to go back a little bit, you had brought up the movie Terror from Beneath the Earth. That was the fourth film in the Mimiverse legacy, if you will. I'm just going to keep coming up with these 50-cent words. Which brings us right up to Destination Outer Space, which was the fifth one, which was your
debut.
Your introduction into said Mimiverse. You went from a Mimivite to a
File?
Yeah, I like that. We're going to use that.
A Mimitor.
There you go. Isn't that male, though?
When you heard that you and your lovely husband over there, Anthony, who's tending a beautiful fire, by the way.
It's a lovely fire.
I'm going to get some marshmallows later. when Chris said, hey, you know, why don't you be in Destination Outer Space, were you happy?
Oh, sure.
Even?
I took everything in stride. Oh, yeah, sure, whatever you want. And he literally could have just said, you know, go crawl over there and lick Josh's boots or something. Okay, fine. You know, it was
wow.
I'm willing. I'll do this, whatever. And
are
then,
you listening,
of course,
Josh?
Yeah, no.
Are you not
nothing personal,
Josh.
He just
wife?
Popped into my mind. I could have said, you know, Titan Adam's bolts or something.
Wow, that's even
the robot.
Naughtier.
I didn't know he was Frankenstein. He's the Frankenstein monster. That's interesting. So I want to talk about Attack of the Moon Zombies again. Sorry, babe, I'm not trying to cut you off. About how Attack of the Moon Zombies all came together, since the premiere is coming. Once Chris got everything finalized for the movie, he got all the actors in line, and the three of us here all got to be in it in various capacities. we had the read-through at your lovely house in Minneapolis, mm-hmm. Minnesota. And that was the first time we all got together for a read-through.
I seem to remember feeding everyone again.
Yes, you did.
I think you're food-obsessed.
You are kind of food-obsessed.
But that's such okay.
For such a lovely skinny gal.
Yeah, eat, Papa, eat. Yes, nobody likes exactly. a skinny Santa.
And that script read-through at your house really kicked off this whole yeah. Attack of the Moon Zombies. I think right there was really when this movie was born. Yeah. I mean, yes, Chris wrote the script. But it came to life the day we all got together at your house. I mean, every single one.
I think he even mentioned that was the first time he'd had an entire group read through.
I believe
I think it went a long way to just establishing an instant rapport and kind of an ensemble feel. And that's what I really love about this movie is there isn't a star.
No.
You know, there's not everybody is, you know, really pulls his or her own weight and works together, supports each other, even if that to support each other means they're fighting on screen or angry with each other. It really was wonderful. I mean, I didn't come home and say to my husband, oh, God, I wish so-and-so weren't in this. He or she really sucks. Not at all. It was just, yeah, that was great. It went really well. It was so fun. It was a delight.
That read-through, you know, literally set the tone and the pace for the rest of it all. I mean, and it was Chris's idea to do that, and he really wanted to create an ensemble movie. Am I right? I believe that's what you told me.
Yeah, I really, I like the idea of ensemble casts. I think the best films I feel I've made are the ones that tend to be ensemble cast, which doesn't mean that the ones that are more focused on single characters or whatever are bad, but I feel like when you have an ensemble cast, for some reason they always, I don't know, maybe it's just the way I write too, that they tend to come together really well as scripts and just, I don't know, maybe it's just the way I write, I don't know. And actually, I should say one thing about that read-through was that the idea, I think, to do it at Sid's house was actually Sid's suggestion, was that I'll host it and I'll make food.
Oh,
I hit the mic.
He just punched the microphone. He's really angry.
That passive aggression again.
Was that the first actual read-through that you had had for any of the movies, Chris?
It was. I think it was the first one that was really well attended. We did have. I know we did have one for Terror from Beneath the Earth, but that one was really easy, only because you know it was
most
like
most of the people lived in the same house.
Yeah, half of the cast lived in my house.
Yeah.
I mean, with a film that size, I a lot of times don't do read-throughs.
Naughty.
Because he's not a theater
reason.
Guy.
And some of them just did.
That's our favorite part. Oh,
some of them just didn't come together. You know, okay. It was like mm-hmm. something, it was like we had to go, and we just didn't have a chance.
Okay.
You know, in Destination Outer Space, for instance, it was one of those things that it didn't make a lot of sense because that film is so focused and so episodic in its nature where, you know, Josh is really the only one person who really appears throughout it. That it seemed kind of strange mm-hmm. You would have someone who would read for, you know, the first 10 minutes, and then they'd have no reason to be there from that mm-hmm. point forward because mm-hmm. they're done. Whereas with this one, it's a lot of actors throughout the entire film that it made more sense.
Well, and if it's episodic, unless they're interested in knowing what else happens in the movie, it's not essential that they're there. Where in this particular movie, because they're stuck on a moon base. You know, they kind of need to know who each other are. It's good to know what's going to happen to your character. I mean,
what's my motivation?
Well, and I'm sure, I mean, not to turn this back away from Sid, sorry, honey, for 1 minute, but I mean, no, I'll bring it back your way. I'll steer the bus back your way, sweetheart. Believe me.
That's what she does.
I steer. But
she's a steerer.
I mean, I know that Chris sometimes writes with actors in mind and sometimes doesn't, and your particular role was not written for you. Mm-hmm. And this happens a ton in the theater, but in movies, I mean, I one day will interview Chris and we'll figure out, you know, how his process works and if it's different for every movie, whatever. But it surprises me that you never had a read-through before, Mara, sidebar. But I'm sure that he experienced more than with any other movie because he did write Administrator Ripley with someone in mind. That person fell through. But I'm sure it helped him hear a new voice in that role. And just to steer it back to Sid,
Well, and I should say one thing, and this even pertains to Sid, and also I have.
I'm trying to keep the bus on the road.
Those. I'm sorry, but I have to say.
Hi, Jack.
This being the Mimiverse, and a lot of you out there know my wife Stephanie, who Hi, played Jack. Rosemary.
The lovely, she's in the background.
The lovely
back there.
And talented
and in Terror from Beneath the Earth.
She's magically babelicious.
That's
she
true.
appears as Dr. Rutherford in Attack of the Moon Zombies. She is here. She is behind me. And I can hear her whispering to make sure that it is known that the Ripley character was originally written for her. But because of the stresses of other things she had going on.
Like having a child.
She was the one who suggested that maybe she didn't have the energy and focus at this time to do a role of that size. And originally when I talked to her about it, the Ripley character was going to be much smaller, and of course it ballooned in the actual writing process. She suggested, well, what about Sid? So she's over here making sure that's known.
Yay, I love you,
Thank you, Stephanie.
Stephanie.
And I do want to say, and I've told Sid this before, having seen the final, edited film, Sid ended up bringing a certain extra level of humanity to the Ripley character, which you all see when you see the film, that was not in the script.
The bangs couldn't hide.
No. I mean, I wrote the character much more as sort of, for lack of a better term, a ball buster. I mean, she's
which is why
be,
he thought of me, of course.
Of course.
Typecasting.
What does that say? That's what I thought of when I put my wife in that role.
Hey. Hey, now.
See, I just thought Steph gave it up because she couldn't be that bitchy.
Nice.
No, you brought the special squeak box to the role.
Oh, you really did.
By squeak box, I meant bitchy. That was my,
So it should be said, all shreds of humanity and caring and emotion beyond. I mean, she was much more stoic and just, I don't want to say tougher because she's a pretty tough chick in the movie, but she added a little more touch of a feminine quality in a very good way. I added the humanity to the character that was missing so sorely from the actual words of the script. So good job, Sid.
Thank you, Sid. You did a bang job. As someone who's seen the final edit as well. I mean, like I said before, everybody here at the Bonfire has seen the movie, and it really, you did a bang-up job. I can't really shower any more praises on you because you killed it. That's
very,
all
very sweet. The thing that I love, and Chris has said this before, what he tells his actors is, give me Shakespeare. You know, give me your absolute best. And everyone who was in the show did that. I mean, they looked at it and, here, this is written in sort of the stilted 50s style, and you've got your sci-fi jargon and, you know, interlocutor conversation, and what the hell is that? And, you know, these kind of things where we could be all standing around going, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, aren't we cute and clever? Look, wasn't that silly and funny of us? But no, we played it for what would be, and I'm using air quotes here, real in that scene. No matter how silly the things we may be saying or how funny and cheesy the sets and props may be. For us, in the moment, it was real. There was this zombie threat. These are these people we know, you know, being perhaps hurt by these zombies. I'm not going to say.
No spoilers, please. No spoilers.
See you on the 25th of May at the Heights Theater.
Yes.
If you were lucky enough to get tickets.
If so, not, just
buy it.
Petition him to put more showings on elsewhere and be there.
And also buy it.
And also buy
yes.
it.
Yes. Oh, please buy
but
it.
But to just kind of fast forward this a little bit, we shot the movie. Actually, I shouldn't say we. It was Chris. But it was a team effort, I feel.
You always say we, honey.
I say
royal
we.
Royal
The royal
we.
Royal thank we. You,
it's
Sid.
It's the theater
thank
we.
You, Sid.
It's
we started
show.
This little adventure an outright in earnest in September, and we went straight through to basically Valentine's Day.
Yep. To absolutely Valentine's Day.
It was, yes,
the
that's
last,
right.
The last scene was on Valentine's Day.
Actually, the last scene was supposed to be on Valentine's Day, but hunkered down and got it done.
And like, wasn't it a 12-hour
shoot? It was a 12-hour marathon straight-through shoot.
The actors asked for it. Chris took a vote.
And that was, I mean, we're
just
talking.
Rolling. We did not want to stop.
We're talking.
And I provided pizza.
yes, you did.
Let it be known.
I wasn't there. I heard the stories.
I heard the stories.
You're there for at least 12 hours, you'll get pizza.
which has happened
one time
in the history of the Mimiverse. 11 and a half now.
I love the stereo effect you're doing there, dear.
Sorry.
So that's 5 months we're talking about, people. 5 months. And during that time, to the best of my knowledge, to the best of my recollection, I think we only had 3 weeks off, if that's correct. We basically shot everything. Well, and I keep saying we, but I apologize.
For holidays. No, we the production team and the actors and everybody, I mean, Chris definitely had the least of the breaks. I mean, not to make it sound like he works so hard and the rest of us.
It's true, I do.
Come on. But,
don't blame us for your gray hairs.
Yes, thank you, Sid. But I mean, that's kind of the production schedule. You come in, you rebuild the set. Oops, sorry, hit the mic. You rebuild the set. Right. You have a couple of days of shooting. You have, you know, an afternoon where you can actually breathe and make sure that things are fine. And then you take your day for rest. And then you come back and you rip the set down and you build the next set. And
this happened on a weekly basis.
Exactly. Yep. And just so that anyone who's out there is listening, if you want to make a feature film, it doesn't have to be that fast. It doesn't have to be that intense. But you don't want to let it go too long. You want the actors to remember who they are, to remember their relationships, to not
keep
have
their hair the same.
I was
going to
say, so the hair doesn't grow out. They don't gain or lose 100 pounds during the filming of it. You don't lose, you don't lose an actor because they got a great opportunity to run off and, you know, go be a music star in Nashville. Not that that has ever happened, but you know what I mean. I mean,
also let it be said that
you lose your own energy for it too. If you can see, like, we're halfway through, you guys, it's great.
Well, and. As anyone out there who maybe listens that has made a movie knows, or it can be dangerous to do it, dangerous, not physically dangerous, but dangerous to your production, in essence, to do it like that, where you build a set, film on it, and then pull it down this next week and put up a new one on top of it.
Because what if something's happened?
Because
to
if you didn't
tape.
Get it,
oh, yeah.
You're stuck with what you got, or
don't
you're going to have
to
go back.
Movie.
Yeah. There was a real high level of commitment from everybody because of that. We knew, get it now, get it right, get it done.
And we all double checked each other too, because just to pimp myself here, I mean,
go right ahead.
The role I played in this one was not just under the table.
that could be taken many different ways.
Yes. She's our little Audrey.
I call myself the head of tech because, you know, Chris and I would talk about what needs to be built and then how it needed to be lit and why it was important. He was really the only one with the shooting schedule in his head, but we could bounce it past each other and I could say, okay, are we ever going to need this again? Is there any way? There was one or two instances that we came across. Do we really need to take this wall all the way down, or can we flip-flop filming? Because this is the same exact set. And then we would have a discussion about why it was or it wasn't, what could be adjusted, and to not waste everyone's time, because you're working with a cast of 15, 20. How many people were in this movie? I mean, just actors, talent.
I think it's 20, 21, that's said and done when you add the extras
ridiculous.
For the zombies. And
that's ridiculous. Yeah. That's a ton of people.
And in there a basement.
In a basement. And
in
there
a
were,
basement.
There were three, four, or five of us building every week. And, I mean, that's a lot of people. It's a lot of responsibility. And with power comes great responsibility.
That's true.
And it's and it's good not to be the only person. I mean, there's been how many movies now, Chris, where really you'll have a kind of rotating cast of people who sometimes come or whatever, but I was glad to provide a service of being able to come in week after week
you
after
were continuity.
Week. Exactly. Yep. And as Mark did too.
Essential.
Where, you know, you have someone who you can say, oh, this thing, or whatever it happens to be. And I was afraid of working on so closely on a film because I am a theater person, and I know that films aren't exactly like that. So,
but your theater background, dear, actually helped in this film.
Oh,
and
well,
Chris will tell
building.
You the same thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Quite a bit.
No,
it came.
You're the only person that would argue.
Oh my gosh,
that's well, true. Even me, I'd be like, all right, whatever, I'll do it.
And
I don't care.
And plus one thing, we had pretty much a a health scare per week from people.
Yes.
I mean, we were working in a Petri dish. We all took turns getting so sick. I was so happy I didn't have to shoot through much of January because for 12 solid days, I didn't have any voice. I had the worst laryngitis in my life. And then later we had, the only time we really rescheduled anything, my cook got whatever version and the respiratory thing, and he was in the hospital. It was horrible. And we're like, oh, pull through, pull through.
Well, and he has to drive 3.5 hours to get here.
That guy's dedication just blows me away.
It was really three and a half hours.
Yeah, I think it's about an hour and a half. I mean, it's both ways.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But
I'm
in
sorry.
The winter, well, and if he's sick, and you know, we're filming till midnight, and then he's got to drive
he's
home and
go
do
home
work.
And go to work.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh!
And he brings a level of professionality too, which is, I mean, the nice thing we always joke, you know, you can, if you want it bad, you can come be a bad actor in this movie. But there is a lot of professionality, and you do need a level of commitment. And
just show up, say, I want to be in this, and then expect to screw around.
No, it doesn't work like that.
No, you'll burn a bridge real quickly
very
with all
much.
Of us that
well,
way.
And not just this movie. I mean, there's there's a ton of movies that are all for ego, and you know what? I'm all for stroking your own ego. That's totally awesome by me. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the reason there's been 6 movies is because...
Because it's all about my ego.
Oh, pretty much.
You weren't
going to
say
that's
it, but you came out and admitted it.
Oh, I was going to say it. I just forgot.
So I'd like to try to start wrapping this up, but I actually do want to ask Sid one more question.
Please
We're going to, you know, kind of wrap up the conversation about Attack of the Moon Zombies. We've talked a little bit about the shooting, but not only did we start this movie in earnest at your house with the read-through, but you were also gracious enough to host the cast rap party.
I'm seeing
afterwards.
A tear in Chris's eye because he had the health scare from hell.
Exactly. And I'm bringing this story up so that we can rip on our beloved director, Christopher R. Mim, who could not come to the rap party because he was sick. He was very sick.
I had the worst flu I've had in years.
This poor guy is texting us messages while he's on his deathbed.
He's texting
Ruby.
Oh,
man, I sent home food. I said put it in the freezer, let him eat it when he can eat
Which
again.
Which was ironic because I couldn't make it, not that I'm half as important as Chris, but I couldn't make it to the first read-through. I was all super disappointed. And then I got to read all of Chris's texts to people during the rap
circle.
Party.
Yeah, at the rap party. Chris couldn't come, as you stated before, because he was sick, but his wife, Steph, and Michael Kaiser showed up. And so they were there, but yet Chris was texting Ruby every 5 minutes. What's going
on? Who's
there? What are they saying about me?
He was keeping his wife free to schmooze, as it should be.
And my wife will kill me for this, but she hates texting and doesn't really honestly even know how to do it.
Well, and
there's nothing wrong with that. Neither would the characters in your movies.
But, you know, and, you know, so you were, by my all estimation, by mine, Chris's, everybody here, I think that I can honestly say that you had a very, very important part in the entire process of Attack of the Moon Zombies.
I felt kind of like a stage mom.
Which is why...
I'll bring in the cookies.
Which is why we wanted...
I do it in everything I'm in. I feed people.
Exactly. And that's...
Are you sure you're not Italian?
I am Italian.
Yay!
I am. Cacciapalli is my mother's maiden name.
Oh,
you don't
there
get
you
more
go.
Italian Chilante. Than that.
Which is why Chris and myself decided that we wanted you to be our very first guest on the...
Yay!
What is this deer called again? The Mimiverse Bonfire.
I should just keep changing the name around.
I like it.
The Mimifire Boncast.
The Mimifire Boncast.
I like that. We're going to use that.
The Great Bernie
the
Love.
Chariots of Mimifire.
And so
Burning Bus.
On behalf of all of us, we want to thank you for everything that you did for us. I mean, really, and I mean this truly, all three of us do. I mean, thank you.
You just want
so
me to keep
butt.
Feeding you in the next
Well, there
movie.
Is that, but, you know.
I know
and
what I'm
good stuff.
And we think you're a darn nice person.
Yes.
Thank you.
So,
right back at you.
Why don't you tell us,
you
know, how people can reach you and tell us some of the things that you do and where people can reach you.
This is the Pimp Your Project section of the Mimicast.
I live such a schizophrenic life, I had to write down my stuff or I'd forget. So here's my list. One of my home-based businesses is Nonconformist Nuptials. And I am an ordained non-sectarian minister, which means I will do, you know, spiritual weddings, funerals, and whatnot, even vow renewals for a certain director and his lovely wife, Steph, in August. Yeah!
No spoilers.
And with the name like Nonconformist Nuptials, it means you don't like the cookie cutter. You want something that's distinctly yours. You can find me at www.nonconformistnuptials.com, and I'm not going to spell that or we won't
that's
leave
okay.
here tonight.
Are there any dashes or dots
nope,
or spaces?
Just one big, really long multisyllabic word.
Very good.
Then my other home-based business is Two Right Feet Dance. My husband Anthony and I teach beginning social dance like swing, rumba, cha-cha, waltz, foxtrot, stuff to get you ready for your wedding, ties into the nonconformist nuptials that way. And our motto there is, forget Fred and Ginger, we'll have you dancing like Fred and Wilma in no time. So you know it's really low pressure because we're not that good.
That's not
and
true.
That's at www.tworightfeetdance.com. And the
how
two
clever.
Is T-W-O. And then my, if you can call it bread and butter anymore, business is Proof Positive Editing. I voluntarily proofread the Phantom Lake Almanac monthly now, and most other places I want to be paid.
Which you should sign up for. You should sign up for that almanac at SaintEuphoria.com.
Yes.
We'll pimp those things in a moment. Now is Sid's personal pimp.
And then the last one is I am an animal chaplain who works with people to help them prepare for, cope with, and move on after pet loss, because I do have a serious side. And I wrote the book Good Grief, Finding Peace After Pet Loss, the website for which Chris made for me, woohoo, at www.goodgriefpetloss.com. And I'm available to speak on all sorts of subjects about that, motivationally speaking, how to get through grief, all that kind of stuff. And you can reach me at that site as well. I think that's about it.
Wow, that's how many four things you do?
Yeah, I have a really long voicemail message.
Oh, my God. I can only imagine.
If you're calling for this one.
Please press one. Can I, ooh,
it's
can
like
I
movie
be your
phone.
Voice guy?
Why not?
Yay!
Ruby,
heard it here first.
Yes.
If you're calling for good grief, please press four.
Spoken like a true movie phone gal. I love it. It's awesome.
Thank you.
So, again, that was Miss, or yes, Ms. We're going to go Ms.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ms. Sid Corpy.
Our first premier guest.
Administrator
Ripley. As opposed to your second premier?
Yes. I like
see,
to have multiple
premieres. Me, sorry.
Unless this didn't come out, but I guarantee that it did. So.
Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Ms. Corpy.
So thank you once again for taking
so
part
much.
Of this and all you've done for Chris and his films.
Oh,
I know
shock.
He appreciates it. He's too.
He's my little past life brother.
Is,
what
yes.
can I tell you?
And if he doesn't say it enough that he appreciates you, I'll say it on his behalf. Way
thank
to go,
you.
Dork.
Do so. He's
thank
really
you, Mark.
Kind.
I appreciate that. I can say it to you.
Thanks. Because we're pals.
Oh, my gosh.
Stop. I'm getting all emotional.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, while we're being thankful, I would like to thank our resident fire tender, Anthony Kazor.
Anthony Kazor.
Thank you for keeping our knees and thighs warm this entire time. I'd like to thank Mark Hader for being the primary host.
Yay!
We thanked Sid. We have met, greeted, and known.
No thanks necessary.
No thanks. Wow! And he's modest.
Yes, and then
Chris and our audience, Steph. And
our audience of frogs and birds and family.
And family, that would be Michael Kazor, the infamous Michael Kazor.
The infamous monster.
And lovely Stephanie
lovely talented wife.
Nim.
The beautiful and talented.
And
she is.
Day.
And she's magically babelicious, as
that's
stated
true.
Previously.
That's true.
And the female voice that you're hearing in this podcast is my my one and only Rhubarb Gallinati, or aww. Ruby, whatever you want to call
thanks,
her.
Thanks, babe.
And so, yeah, we're gonna wrap this up now. So thank you for tuning in to podcast number one, the premiere edition of the Mimiverse Bonfire Podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. I'm going to keep calling it something different. We'll probably do that all year
it's
long.
It's the bus.
We don't really have, you know, an idea of what we're doing. No, I'm just
yes,
kidding.
Yes, we do.
We have an idea. We're going to try to put these out at least once a month. Who knows? We might go more than that, more frequent. We might go, I don't know, it all depends, you know.
If you have questions you'd like us to ask or people you'd like to see or, you know, a favorite word, email
SaintEuphoria.com.
Yeah. Info at SaintEuphoria.
Info at
I think there was talk about starting a Facebook fan page for the podcast. I don't know if that's still going to happen. I think it will.
At some point.
At some point.
When there's more than one.
When it's just the four of us that are on it.
Because it takes, like, 4 seconds to make a Facebook fan page and
but
hit
you're
like.
Nothing unless you have a MySpace page.
Oh,
too.
I thought
you need
that was
to have
only
a
for
MySpace
bands.
Page.
No, I thought that was only for bands.
Ah, you got
in 2005,
so we can spam the hell out of you. It'll be awesome.
But, we're gonna have to beep the hell out of this.
No, nobody podcast. Swore. And
everyone except Chris swore. Come on, Chris.
Yes.
Come on, Chris. Peer pressure. Peer pressure. Peer pressure, Chris.
Darn it.
Yeah!
Yay! All right.
Language.
We're going to end this premiere edition of the podcast here in the Mimiverse.
Go see The Attack of the Moon Zombies on the 25th of May at the Heights Theater or at one of your local showings.
Thank you so much for listening.
You missed the word.
No. We haven't missed nothing yet.
And now for the monster word of the day with Michael Kaiser. The monster. The monster word of the day is
cribbage.
And that was the monster word of the day with Michael Kaiser. We would like to thank you for bearing with us through this premiere podcast, and we invite you to join us the next time when Hader and Ruby warm themselves by the Mimiverse bonfire with Michael Kaiser, the man behind many of the Mimiverse monsters, for his unique take on life, the universe, and every little thing. Until then, please, follow your path. Don't love your heroes so much that you cheat them of their due. And be sure to keep a rockin' and a rollin'.